Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you today. Praise the Lord. Yes, we did have a great healing school yesterday. We had lots of good things. The Lord did lots of wonderful things. It's wonderful to be in a house where God shows up and where He does things for us. It's just so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Okay. I have a testimony I want to share with you, a man that shared yesterday. I think this is so important. This testimony is a testimony I have never heard in my whole life. I've never heard anything that even comes close to this. But this man, it's so unique. That's why I'm going to share it with you, because anytime you take a man that's 76 years old that's been preaching the gospel for 30 or 40 years and he ain't never heard a testimony like he heard yesterday, you need to pay attention to this testimony. You know that? Because it's unique. It is unique. I've heard all kinds of healings and miracles and all kinds of stuff, but this one yesterday blew me away. This man, he's been coming to here for healing schools for a long time, and he told me several years ago that he said, if it wasn't for this ministry and what you teach, I would already be dead. That's what he had to say. He said, this ministry has changed mine and my wife's life forever. Well, I think that's what God wants to do with all of us. He wants to change all of our lives forever. But this man said that here a while back, he had a sore come up on his foot. And it was about as big as the end of your little finger. And then it kept getting bigger and bigger until it got as big as the end of your thumb. And then it kept getting bigger and bigger until it was as big as a ball, about that big. And he said it moved around on his leg. It didn't just stay in one place. It moved around. And it became so painful that he couldn't stand it. And so he started really asking the Lord, Lord, take away the pain. And he said, every time I would ask the Lord would take away the pain instantly. But he said, if I touch it, my pants leg touched it or anything, immediately excruciating pain again. And he said, I couldn't figure out what it was. And said, I had been asking the Lord, Lord, what did I do that caused this thing to come up on me? And he said, I didn't hear anything. So he began to quote scripture to the Lord. Lord, you said I could ask anything and you would do it. So I'm asking you, what did I do that caused this big sore to come up on my leg that will not get healed? It's getting bigger every day. He said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, the Presbyterian church that you go to used to give the money that was given to the church, a portion of it used to go to Israel. But they have now stopped giving Israel and they're now giving it to Hamas. And your money is cursed and it's caused a curse to come up on your body because you give to the Hamas and their wicked bunch. He said, Lord, I repent. I'll never give the Presbyterian Church another dime as long as I live. And he's a very well-to-do man. He said, I'll never give them another dime. I'll make sure my money goes somewhere where it's your glory has been. And he said, in a matter of days, his leg was completely healed. Now then, is it important where you give your money? You better pay attention where you give your money. You better give your money somewhere where God's showing up, where God's doing something wonderful. That's where you need to give your money. Otherwise, it might bring upon you a curse. You see why I wanted you to hear this? I had never heard of a testimony like this. I mean, you know, the way I look at it, I don't care where I go to church, wherever it was. When I gave my offering to that church, I felt like it was in their hands. I had given it supposedly to God. And I said, Lord, it's in your hands. Now you do with it what you want to. So I didn't worry. I mean, after I gave my money, my tithe, and then my own, beyond my tithe to whatever churches I went to over the years, when I gave that money, believing that once I gave it there, it's now out of my hands, out of my control, and it's the people in charge of that church that's responsible for that money. But obviously, I didn't understand the principles right. Because I don't know. I really think that what God was trying to tell us, since there's so many people today, including churches, you know, the Presbyterians, you know, they're even ordaining homosexuals and all kinds of stuff. You know, wasn't it the Presbyterians up in Minneapolis? Yeah, the Presbyterian church here a few years ago, Kim and Scott are from Minneapolis, and they have a huge Presbyterian church up there right downtown, and they was going to vote on this homosexual deal, You know, do we ordain homosexuals? Well, let me tell you what, anybody that's a Christian, any pastor that's a Christian that has a brain that has turned on, when you read the Word of God, what should you believe about homosexuals? It's an abomination to God. He hates it. He doesn't hate the homosexual, but he hates the sin, just like he does all sin. And if you're going to say it's okay to ordain men and put them in service, let them stand in the pulpit, let them be teachers in your Sunday school classes, in your Presbyterian church, when you have your little boys in there, let me tell you what, mine ain't going to a church like that. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it, and I'll be very bold with it. You know, you can take it and do what you want to with it, but I'm going to tell you, if they're not obeying God's word, I don't want nothing to do with them. And if I find out they're not doing things right, I can assure you I'm not going to give that organization no money. But when I found out this, that he had given his tithe. You know, he gave his tithe to the Presbyterian church. And then come to find out that this sore started coming up on his body. And he couldn't get healed. And when he really petitioned the Lord, you see why these promises are important? Jeremiah 33:3 and Psalms 91:15, both. Either one of those will get that answer for you, right? Either one of those. Psalm 91:15 is a good place to go. The Lord says, call unto him and he will answer you. Just like Jeremiah 33:3 says, you know, the Lord, he says, call unto me and I will answer you. But if you don't call unto him, you might never know. Just think, if this man had not known any of these promises and had not understood the principles, and he started coming down with this thing, eating on his leg, and if he hasn't known by now, he may very well be dead. This thing could have killed him. And he goes to a doctor and everything. He could have. He didn't. He totally trusts God for this. He has been here so many times to so many healing schools that he knows that this system that we teach here does work. And so he just kept saying, okay, God, I got to know what I did, Lord. And you said I could ask, call unto you, and you would show me. And so he started just standing on the word of God. And finally he said, Lord, I got to know. And finally the Lord spoke to him. Yeah, the money you're giving, you give that Presbyterian church. That Presbyterian church giving that money to Hamas, which is killing Christians and Jews. Now, if you're going to give somewhere, don't give it to somebody that you know is killing Christians or Jews. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Because the master's not happy with us, and he can do things to get our attention, can he not? I'm going to tell you what, if I had a sore come up on my foot that was about this big, and then in a few days, it was as big as my thumb. And then in a couple of weeks, it's that big around. And it's moving around on my leg, and it's all open, and it's painful, and I can't stand it. I'm going to be looking for some kind of help. You know what I mean? I'm going to be looking for help. And of course, you know, we go for a while, and if we don't know the principles, if that sore gets worse and worse and worse and bigger and bigger and bigger, if it does, then we don't know that we can call out to God and say, Lord, what did I do? And he tell us and we repent and he'll heal it. If we don't know those principles, where are you going to go for help? To a medical doctor. Is that right? That's all you know to do is you're going to go to a medical doctor. And sometimes you go to a medical doctor and he does everything, including surgery and everything else, and it doesn't help. It just keeps getting worse. Well, then everybody prays. You know, take him to church and let them pray over him. And the prayer over and it keeps getting worse. Then somebody said, well, you know, prayer don't work. No, you didn't know the principles. You didn't understand. You got to get rid of the sin. You got to repent for giving that money to Hamas. And so, and of course, just think, he knew the principles. So as soon as he got the word from God, what the problem was, he repented and then stood on God's promises. And by standing on God's promises, God did exactly what he said he would do every time. He forgives how many of our iniquities? All of them. And then how many of our diseases does he heal? All of them. All of them. So if we don't find the answer, that means we didn't do something right. Because God promises to heal us every time, does he not? Yes, he does. Yeah, so praise the Lord. Okay, that was such a great testimony yesterday. I thought, wow, I've got to tell the people about that one. They got to know that one. Okay. We have some interesting things going on. How many of you have watched the Sid Roth show in the last week? Okay. What did you observe? You said you saw it, right? The one with the Jewish guy. Reuben. Okay, he's written books, right? What, you're familiar with him? What does he teach? About health. Okay. Kosher foods and things like that. And organic foods and things like that, right? Now, he's on the Sid Roth show, you know, and he's a Jew, so he's got to be right, right? Well, it all depends. It all depends on... Now, let me tell you something. This is what I've observed. Over the years, we agree with everything we know, and what we don't know, we just let it go. And I got tickled at one of the things. Yeah. Okay, this one statement was made. Sid asked him a question. Well, how do you really know what to eat? And he says, well, one thing I would say, don't eat anything that Jesus cast demons into. I just laughed when I heard that. In other words, he's talking about the 2,000 pigs, you know, that when Jesus cast the demons out of the men of the Gadarenes and he cast them into the pigs and the pigs ran down the sea and drowned in the sea. He said, if Jesus cast demons into those pork, into those pigs, then don't eat anything that Jesus cast demons into. Well, you know, as I look at that, I think, wow, okay, I'm going to use some scriptures today, and I want us to, I really know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we as the body of Christ are probably the most uneducated bunch of people in the world according to what we have, right, Jack? I mean, here we have the greatest master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the greatest power. He did everything for us, and most of us don't have a clue. I was one of those. I lived there most of my life. But I want to start out today I want to go to Romans 10:4. Yeah, that's it. Now, I want you to meditate. This is where I want to start. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Are you a believer? Amen. Now then, I want to ask you a second time. Are you a believing believer? Now then, if you're not just a believer, but you're a really believing believer, then see, some of us could hold our hand up when I say, are you a believer? Is that right, Tony? Are we a believer? But if I say, are you a believing believer, that's a whole new category, isn't it? In other words, when I say, are you a believer, you say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Then I say, okay, are you a believing believer? Do you believe the promises of God in this book means what they say? And if you say, yes, okay. Then if we do believe that, then what does that mean? Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, that went to the cross for us, He is the end of the law. Okay, now if here comes the law, and here's the law, and here's the edge of the cliff, and everything from here back yonder, as far as you can go, that's all law, and we're walking on law, and Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us right here, and right here the cliff drops off. When Jesus died and arose again, when we get up to the right there at that point, what happened to the law? Does it keep going? It's gone. Or for the believing believer. For the believing believer, it's gone. But if you're not a believing believer, it's still there. See, it's only gone for those of us that believe it. That's just like, since God is a God of faith, if we believe by faith, it happens, doesn't it, Jack? It may not happen immediately, but it's going to happen. But if you're living under law, it ain't never going to happen. People try, just like Dave and Jeff both said over the weekend at the healing school, people try to do what they need to do to be good enough to get healed. Is that right, Mary? We try to be good enough to get Jesus to heal us. And that ain't possible, is it, Tony? You can't be good enough to get Jesus to heal you. He doesn't do healings because of your goodness. He does healings because of Him and what He did. So if Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Miss Jackie, are you a believing believer? Do you know there's a difference between being a believing believer and a believer? Yes. He sure couldn't, could he? He is the end of the law. Now then, if he is the end of the law for the believer, for the believing believer, then we don't have to worry about the law. Yeah, the law's ended. It's done. So now then, if the law stopped here at the cliff, and I'm walking in accordance with what we're, some of the things, we're, I'm going to go over some things today. I want to show you what rightfully belongs to us. And I want you to see what literally belongs to the believing believer. Now, the church, as a rule, does not live here. The church, as a rule, does not live as a believing believer. We believe that we have to do certain things and have to commit certain works to be saved. I mean, there's all kinds of churches out there that teach you all kinds of stuff you got to do before you can get saved. In fact, I had dinner with Michael last night, and he told me about the church he came out of. And he said they were so adamant about the fact about the Sunday believers. The church he was in, guess what they believed in? The law, Torah, and, you know, they had to worship on Saturday. You know, so now if you're a Sunday believer, you can't go to heaven. That's what they taught. He said, the church I came out of, they said, if you worship on Sunday, you're lost and headed for hell. You cannot go to heaven. Now, how many of y'all in this room believe that? I hope they ain't nobody holds up their hand. You know, as a believing believer, as a person, I don't care who you are, there's only one thing you got to do, and you hear this all the time, repent of your sins and accept Jesus. Now, repent of your sins or you can't be saved. Do we hear that? You know, but that's not scriptural either. That's not scriptural. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think. Let's see. Who in here, let's say, let me pull out somebody, if you don't mind telling me who you are, who was at least 40 years old before you got saved? Who was at least 40 years old before you got saved? Okay, right here, Michelle. You was at least 40 years old before you got saved. Okay, so but from the time you were born till you got to the point of salvation, somewhere in those 40 or whatever years, did you commit any kind of sin?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, now let's say I come to you and say, Michelle, I'm going to save you if you'll tell me, and if you'll confess every sin you've ever committed from the time you were born until you're 40, you got to remember every one of them and confess them all. Would that have been possible?
No.
No, but that's not possible. Do you see where I'm coming from? There is no way, Michelle, in 40 years or plus, whatever it took, if I'd have said, now you can't get saved until you repent of every sin you've ever committed. There ain't no way in this world you could have remembered every sin you committed for 40 years. Do you agree with that, Andy? Yeah. How old were you when you got saved, Andy? Okay, but in 14 years, could you remember all the sins you did in 14 years? No, I was 11 and I couldn't remember all the sins I committed. I didn't even know what all I'd done wrong in just 11 years. You know, and so if you're 20, 30, or 40 years, but that's not what he said. He said it only requires one thing, and it's in Romans 10. 89. And I want you to see what it says. Romans 10, 89. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, look, verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So what do I got to do, Jack?
Those two things.
I've got to confess with this mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart the Father raised him from the dead. Is that right, Michelle? So I didn't have to remember all them sins I did for 40 years, do I? Which I couldn't do anyway. There's no way. But God made it so rock solid that any human being could come to him and say, Lord, I'm calling on the name of Jesus. And all you got to say is just Jesus. Isn't that something? You don't have to do nothing spectacular. Just say, Jesus, I want you. And I believe the Father raised you from the dead for my sins. And if you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, what just happened to you? You got saved. That's right, Tony. I mean, he made it so simple even the least of us could figure it out, right? And aren't we glad? We're so glad. Yes, absolutely. So see, and you hear people all the time tell you, you got to confess your sin before you can get saved. You ever heard that? I mean, I've heard it all my life. You got to confess your sin. Confess your sin and you'll be saved. The Scripture don't teach that. The Scripture just says, call on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. Is that right? So I'm so glad that for the Scripture and that I have the Scripture and that I can stand on the Scripture, because all I got to do is say, in fact, like I say, to really get saved, it only takes one word. What is that word?
Jesus.
Jesus. Now then, if I speak the name of Jesus, if I was lost, the worst lost guy that ever been and committed every sin you can imagine known to man, and somebody told me about Jesus, and I said, wow, that's awesome, Jesus. Now, when I confess the name of Jesus, is it possible for me to believe in my heart without you hearing anything? Sure. My heart can believe that, can it not? So all I got to do is call on the name of Jesus, and I can be saved. Is that right, Miss Jackie? That's all I had to do. Didn't have to do no double backflips or nothing like that. I didn't have to be an athletic pro or no crazy thing. All I had to do is call on Jesus, and he saved me, right? And he saved many a man and woman right there, hadn't he? That some of them were on their deathbeds dying, and somebody was in there telling them, you know, daddy or auntie or uncle or whatever, and mother, just call on the name of Jesus. In fact, I think about one of the young ladies that worked for us. As she has learned these principles, when her mother was getting sick, she knew she did not have enough knowledge in her to get her mother healed, but she knew the plan of salvation. So she gets on an airplane and flies up to the foreign country that she's from, which is up in Minneapolis or Wisconsin or wherever it is. You understand where I'm coming from, right? That's a cold country and that's a foreign country as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, she winds up there and talks to her mother about Jesus and has her repeat to her the salvation prayer that she believes in Jesus, that she believes the Father raised him from the dead. And so her mother got gloriously saved. And then she saw how easy it was, and she came home and she had divorced her husband, had four children. So over the holidays, she went in and got all of her family together and talked to all of them about Jesus, including her ex-husband and all four of her children. And before the holidays was over, she led all five of them to Christ. Now, is that what we're supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be producing fruit for the kingdom of God? Just think, I'm going to tell you for sure that her mother's already deceased now since she went up there. Her mother has passed on and went to be with the Lord. And then, of course, who knows how long it'll be before she either goes, because she's still a young woman, and her husband and her children, or of course, our children are all grown, but they're still young. But one day, when that girl walks into the kingdom, all of those people will be standing there saying, we're so grateful you led us to Christ. Amen. See, I mean, they won't even be concerned about being husband and wife, because they ain't says we're not married in the kingdom. But they all know that that woman right there is the one that led me to Christ. And they will have been there. Who knows? They may be there for years. But one thing about it, when they get there, Tony, they will know how fortunate they are to know Jesus, right? Man, can you imagine dying and going to hell? No, I can't even imagine it. You know, but we just don't know enough. But anyway, this scripture here says that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Now then, do you know that word, while we're right there at that very same place, do you know that very word right there, saved, is that word sozo right up there? Did you know that? In the Greek New Testament, the word in the Greek is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Now the word sozo doesn't mean just saved. It means all five of those things up there on the board. Saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. All five of those. So now then, I'll tell you how I did it. I was studying one night, and as I was studying, I came up on this, and when I got down to that word saved right there, I had it in a new computer software plan that I had in a computer. It says there that you can, if you will confess this with your mouth, believe in your heart, you will be saved. Now the word sozo also, what if I were to put down there in the bottom of that, change that word from save to healed? that would still be okay. That's what it means. So let's see. Let's say if I read this like this. I'm reading along here one night, that if I shall confess with my mouth and in the Lord Jesus and shall believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be healed. Is that what that says, Mary? That's what that says. Now then, in the English version, the word is always used saved. But if you read it in the Greek, that word always means sozo. And the word sozo means five things, not one. So I found it, the Lord directed by my studies, when I highlighted that word saved in my computer, it pulled in the word sozo. The word saved means, comes from the word sozo in the Greek. And then down under the Greek dictionary, it says that word sozo means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, preserved. And I looked at that and I looked at that and I looked at that and I thought, now wait a minute. To get saved, Andy, to get saved, if I use the word saved in the context of that writing, what do I have to do to make it work? I got to say it. Got to say, believe in Jesus, and I got to believe here, right? And then if I do, I'm saved. I'm born again, right? And of course, you know, I'll tell you, our little good buddy, he'll come by and pat you on the shoulder and say, now you old wicked critter, you know God ain't going to save an old critter like you. You know, he'll do that to you. You know that? Yeah. And if you're not careful, he'll steal your miracle. He'll steal your salvation from you. You know that?
We're a target.
Yeah, you're guaranteed you're a target. But you got to know that's what that means. You got to be prepared. So when the enemy comes and say, oh, Thurman, you old wicked critter, you. Or Jack, you know. Oh, think of all the sins you committed in your life, Jack. Oh, he knows them all. Yeah. Oh, you may have confessed all of them to the Lord, and the Lord don't remember none of them, but the devil does. And he'll use them against you. He never forgets those things. But if we don't know for sure that that word is for me, then when he comes, you know, that old wicked sinner, you know, God could never save somebody as wicked as you are. You have no idea how many people I have ministered to in my life when I get down to salvation. That's what they're telling me. Thurman, I could never be saved. You don't know what I've done. Yeah. Have you ever heard that, Mary? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But believe me, if you've been in the ministry like I have, yeah, you would have heard it many a time. People, they will tell you, you know, even God couldn't save me. You know, that tells me right there, we don't know anything about God. We don't know who he is. It's kind of like the day that Cheryl and I went to Europe. I can't think of the name of that, where that's... We went over to preach in that Catholic church. Was it Ireland? Okay, in Ireland. As the guy that picked us up at the airport is taking us by the docks where they built the Titanic. There's those two big cranes out there, David and Goliath. I said, is that the shipyard where they built the Titanic? And he said, yes. And he said, I said, wow, wasn't it awful? What happened? He said, you know, you may or may not have heard the story, but said the captain of the Titanic stood on the deck of the Titanic and raised his fist and said, God, this ship is so well built, even you couldn't sink this one. Is that the height of stupidity? God took one little finger off of an iceberg, just one little finger, and a piece of 1-inch boilerplate, 1-inch thick steel plate. And this giant ship is running across the ocean, and he pushes an iceberg over there, and starting in compartment number one, I mean, if any two compartments out of the nine, I think it was either seven or nine compartments on that ship, if there was just two of them sealed, you could not have sunk that ship. But God started with an iceberg, and they hit, and it right at the front of that ship, and it went right down the side of that ship and all the way off the back and cut every compartment. And water began to run in, and it wasn't very much time left until that ship goes to the bottom of the sea. And hundreds of people perished with it because of the stupidity of one man. Does it make a difference what you say? Yes, it does. It's very important. Because right here, if you say the right thing, what's it going to do to you? It's going to save your soul, right? If you say the wrong things, it's going to curse your soul. But all you got to do is believe. Now then, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verses 5 through 12. I want to show you something. Let's start with verse 5. And I'm going to show you this is where we are today. The church, Paul had this problem that we're talking about right here. He had the problem. And look what Galatians chapter 1, verse 5 says. Galatians 1, 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, verse 6. Let's see what that says. Look what Paul's saying in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I really don't think he's saying it like that. I think he's saying, I can't believe you bunch of dummies. I really believe that's the way he's saying that. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What? Another gospel? Do you think there's another gospel out there? Oh boy, there's a lot of them out there. I've been in all kinds of churches in my life. There's a lot of gospels out there. And there's not but one true gospel. The rest of them are false. Wow, let's go to the next verse. Let's see what the next verse says, verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, think about this. When I was talking with Mike last night, when Mike said, Thurman, the church I came out of, they told me if you were a Sunday Christian, you were lost and going to hell. Nobody that could ever even think about coming to church on Sunday and not being there on the Sabbath day could even think about getting to heaven. Is that a lie? Yeah. It sure is. Yeah. Just think, people like Mike and his wife and all those people that were a member of that big church, they were all deceived by demonic spirits. And of course, Mike had suffered for 20 years with his back. But they told him healing went away with the apostles. That don't work no more. You can't get nobody healed. So don't even try. And then he came here. And he heard something totally different. Totally different. And then after hearing it for a few times, he thought, wow, that's what's written. It's kind of like going to, Mike is a very educated young man on automobiles. So if you open the automobile manual and it says from this particular contact on pin 1 to pin 6, you should have a resistance of 5 ohms. Plus or minus 1/10 of an ohm. Okay, so I check it, and it's not 5 ohms, it's 50 ohms. That's okay, that's close enough. Oh, you don't think that'll work? But that's kind of what we're doing with the church, right? Okay, so Mike said that he began to look at what he saw here. He began to talk to people here. He began to talk to people and find out people, all kinds of people here got healed. He'd hear me tell the story about Jack, and he'd go talk to Jack. He'd hear me tell the story about Scott and Kim, and he'd go talk to them. Did this really happen to you? And, oh, yeah. And he said, it wasn't long after a few Sundays here, I had so many miracles that people had experienced here in this church, I thought, I have a decision to make. Either the miracles didn't go away with the apostles, or this whole bunch is crazy. He said, it's hard to believe a whole bunch of them's crazy. And so he decided that him and Gracie would pray over him and his back, which he'd had a sick problem or pain for 20 years. And God instantly healed him when they prayed. He's been totally pain-free now for the last 2 or 3 years, whatever it was. He said, Thurman, I could never go back. But he was under this gospel. You see what I mean? And can you be going to a good church and have good intentions, but yet they be totally, completely wrong? Yes, they can be totally wrong. And Paul's trying to tell them, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. You wouldn't think anybody would do that, but they do. Let's see what the next verse says, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let them be accursed. let them be accursed. If they're preaching that salvation is only for the Jew, or that the Jew, that we are the new replacement of the Jews. Hear people all the time say, you know, the new theology, that we're the Jews. The Jews are not really the Jews. The church is the Jews. Have you ever heard that? Sure, it's out there. It's a false gospel. Let's go to the next verse, 9. Let's see, what it says. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. So anything other than the truth. Well, we're going to have to find out what the truth is in a minute here. Okay, verse 10 says, For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. Do you know that I guarantee you, when you take a man like Franklin Graham, that was asked by the presidential office to come to Washington, D.C. and to pray a prayer at the inauguration of Barack Obama 6 years ago, and they said, now this is what you can say. He said, nobody tells me what I can say as a Christian. I pray the prayer I want, not what you tell me. They said, this is the prayer. What are you going to say then? And he said, okay. He writes out a prayer and says something like this. And as long as he left out the name of Jesus, nobody had a problem. But when he said, I'm going to close it in the name of Jesus Christ, they said, you can't do this prayer. Now then, is that man teaching a false gospel? No, he is not. But obviously the people in power don't want to hear the truth. Is that true? Yeah. You can do anything you want to do about God. You can call him anything you want to until you call him Jesus Christ. When you call him Jesus Christ, there's a group of people out there that don't want you to hear that. Because that's the only name that there's any power in, isn't there, Miss Jackie? He is the only one that has power. Next verse, let's see what verse 11 says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The other day I was having to fill out, or Cheryl was doing it for me, thank God. She was filling out all the criteria of where I got my credentials to be a preacher for the Sid Ross Show. When it come down to where did you go to school, I said, I went directly to Jesus Christ and he taught me. I went directly to his word. I didn't go to man. I didn't go to seminary. I've never been to seminary. The only times I've been to seminary is when I was sent there to teach there. Now, I've taught in the Norwegian seminary. In fact, some of you have heard this story, some of you haven't. Kim, stand up. I'll use you. There was a little lady in the Norwegian seminary. When I got there, I was going around the room shaking hands with people and just thanking the Lord and praying a blessing over them. And I come up to this older lady. Now, she is much, much older than Kim. But when I come up, I stuck my hand out like this to shake hands with her. And when I did, I looked down and her hand was all gnarled up like that. And I thought, oh my goodness. I took her precious little hand and I said, may the Father in heaven, may Jesus Christ bless you. That's all I said. And instantly her hand became perfectly normal right in my hand. Yeah, I mean, now then, am I teaching a false gospel?
No.
When you see signs and miracles and wonders, you can be assured that the King showed up, because you know what? If I'd had to do that of my own power, that woman would still have a crippled hand. You know, I don't have that kind of power. You don't have that kind of power, but our Master has that kind of power. And whenever you're pleasing him, and obviously that day in that seminary, I was pleasing him, and to think Andy, you can't, if you've never even seen anything like this, you can't imagine what it is to take a little shriveled hand and watch the Master make it whole right in your hand. Can you only imagine that? Isn't that awesome? I mean, we serve an awesome God. I mean, He is an awesome God. But then, of course, we've been in, I don't know, the seminary here in the Baptist Seminary in Dallas, what, four times or five times or whatever. And every time they ask me to come down there, they want me to teach on healing, which I do, and I'm happy to teach it. But boy, do I catch the flack in that place. Those people, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, when you use a scripture, and especially some of these guys that's working on their masters, and some of them, they're doctorate, you know, they come back at you, well, you know, that don't work. We tried this and it didn't work. And I said, well, that's why it doesn't work, because you tried it. They don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear. They're not open to instruction, most of them. They think they know the answers, and they don't. I'm trying to tell them the answers, and they don't want to hear it. So it's amazing. Let's go to verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. Thank God that I've never done that. I have not been a part of that. But Paul was out there killing Christians. And Ronnie, I wouldn't like to see Paul coming up my driveway if I thought he was coming to my house to kill me. Would you? No, I guarantee I wouldn't. I wouldn't like to see him coming. But that's what he did. Verse 14. And profited in the Jewish religion above many my equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. I will have to say, Paul was a zealous man for the law. He wanted the law to be kept and fulfilled, and he had been taught the law. If you've been taught the law, and that's where you are, then that's unfortunate. Back in that time, when they first started, that's all there was the law. The law had been taught for centuries, for thousands of years. And so that's all they knew. But now then Jesus come and changed all that. And he told us about it. And it's very difficult for us to believe that that changed. And so we still have people today that don't believe it. They still believe we're under the law. We don't, if there's anything that is misunderstood in the church, it's the difference between law and grace. They really, really, there's a few good pastors out there that teach it correctly, but the majority of them do not. And verse 15, let's see what 15 says. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Who is running the show? God is. Who called Paul out? God did. Who called Thurman Scrivener out? God did. And who trained Paul? God did. Who trained me? God did. Same one. He didn't send me to seminary. He had a plan and he trained me to do what he wanted me to do. And so I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with men and blood, with flesh and blood, verse 6:17, neither went I into to Jerusalem to hear them, to them that which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Let's go to Galatians 2, verses 3 and on. Galatians 2, 3. Go to the next verse, verse 4. And because of this, brethren, We were unaware. We brought in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The freedom we have in Christ is exactly that. We have total freedom in Christ for everything, anything. But there's always somebody trying to bring you into bondage. You have to do this, or you have to do that. You have to read the Bible 2 hours a day. You don't have to. It's nice if you do, but you don't have to please God. You know, instead of reading it 2 hours a day, you could read it six. I think that would make you more happy than two, wouldn't it, Mary? What do you think, Richard? You think?
I think there's freedom.
There's total freedom. You don't have to spend two or six, do you? Yeah, you have total freedom in Christ. I remember a time, how many of you ever heard of Andrew Womack? I was listening to Andrew one time on one of his shows. He's a very good Bible teacher. And he says, you know, he said, somebody come to me one day and asked me, he said, how much time do you spend in prayer every day? He said, oh, about 10 or 15 minutes. And they said, 10 or 15 minutes? I can't believe it. A man like you, you ought to spend 2 hours. So he's like, why 2 hours? Well, I only spend 10 minutes. So he said, I kind of come under conviction. Now, these people that were coming to him was trying their best to get him into bondage. And it worked. Because he started saying, okay, God, if I'm only spending 10 or 15 minutes a day in prayer, and that's, okay, so maybe I do need to spend more. So I will start out spending an hour, and we'll see how this goes. I'll spend an hour a day with you in prayer. So he started out, and he spent for several days, he did this. And finally, after about 2 weeks, he just throwed himself back and said, God, I ain't enjoying this at all anymore like I used to. And he said, God spoke to him and said, I ain't enjoying it either, Andy. In other words, he was under bondage. He didn't have the freedom to come and to sit down with him. And just like you want to sit down with your husband, it's nice if you have the freedom to just come and sit down and have breakfast with him every morning. Or if you get too busy, you got to go somewhere one morning. Tony, don't care if you have to go one morning. It's okay. You're not under bondage. You know, you're free. You know, but you, if you have the freedom to do things, it makes everything better. And he said, the Lord wasn't happy with me either. He said, told me, he said, I'm not enjoying. He said, Lord, I'm not enjoying my prayer time with you anymore. And the Lord said, don't. That's okay, Andy. I'm not enjoying it either. So if God ain't enjoying it, you better change it. Right, Richard? You better change it, I guarantee. Oh, that was pretty cool. I heard him say that one time. So let's go to verse 5. To whom we give place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the wrath of the gospel might continue with you. Oh, the truth, yeah, the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I want to go from here. I want to go to 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 16. I want to look at something there, or at least we'll hit a few verses. 1 Timothy 4. Now look at this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons or devils. Do you think we might be living in that last time? I really believe we are. And I believe that when you see what they say, now he says that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the later times or the last time, some shall depart from the faith. Well, let's see what they're going to teach in verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Let's look at the next verse, verse 3. Forbidding to marry. Do you know here a while back, There was a group of people trying to make a law that we should not even have to get married. We could just live together. You don't need a marriage license no more. Just move in with each other. It's okay. I thought when I saw that group trying to prove that it was okay, I thought, this is exactly what the scripture said was going to happen. He says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats or foods which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of men which believe and know the truth. So let me ask you this question. When we see this health guy, again, what was his name? It was on Sid Roth. Reuben? Jordan Reuben. Okay, Jordan Reuben. When we see him teach what he taught, anybody that heeds to what he's doing needs to realize that they have just fell from grace and they're back under the law. Is that true? So if you're going to believe that you got to eat no pork, you can't eat no shrimp, you can only eat kosher foods. If you do that, then instead of just a few commandments, how many commandments is there you're supposed to follow? Over 600. There's over 600. Now then, as I talked to Mike about this last night, I said, obviously y'all were bound by all 600 of the laws. He said, well, no, we just did the ones we liked, and the ones we didn't like, we didn't do. I think that kind of sounds like the way mankind has been all of his life, has he not? I mean, if it's okay to steal from your brother, well, okay, just don't get caught. It's okay. But if the law says you're not supposed to steal and you get caught, you're in trouble. You're now guilty of breaking the law. So I told him, I said, so you mean that y'all were so adamant you had to go to church on Saturday, period. And if you went to church on Sunday, you were lost and dying and going to hell, and nobody, no way that went to church on Sunday could ever be a born again believer. They were lost and going to hell. He said, that's it, Thurman, that's what they taught us. Did you know there was organizations out there like that today? I didn't even know they were out there. I'd never been in one of those places. If I'd have walked in a place like that with as little, even years ago, with as little law and grace as I knew, I still knew that wasn't true. I knew that if I went to church on Saturday or if I went to church on Sunday, I'm okay. I can go either day. I did know I had some freedom in Christ. I really didn't know how much freedom I had in Christ, but now I know a whole lot more freedom I have in Christ. And I really know from Scripture I have all freedom in Christ. And in fact, this right here, this Scripture right here in 1 Timothy, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats or foods which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. To them that believe. Let's go to the next verse, number 4. For every creature of God is good. Everyone except shrimp and pork. And lobster. Yeah, lobster can't be added. You can't have no lobster. You can't have no pork. I mean, is that what it said? It says for how many creatures of God is good? So would that include shrimp? Can I legally as a Christian go in and order me a plate of fried shrimp and eat it without a problem? Only if I do one thing first. Hey, there you go. It says there. That's what it says. Yes, it said, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So now then, what if we don't thank God for it? What if we don't want to offend nobody? We're going to go and we're going to have a pulled pork sandwich. I know my wife, she loves pulled pork sandwiches. So she's going to have one, but she says, okay, honey, today we're going to be in the store over here, and I know there's going to be people in there that ain't Christian, so I don't want you to say nothing about prayer over my sandwich. If you pray over it, just pray over it silently. Do you think she might be under some bondage there, Tony? Just a little, yeah, just a little. But I will say one thing. That's my wife. That ain't my wife. She never, she doesn't. If there's anything, if we sat down there and she bumps me on the legs, and I said, what's wrong? She said, you ain't prayed yet over the food, and I'm ready to eat. But I guarantee that girl will not put a bite of nothing in her mouth until I've prayed over it first. I don't care if they bring her a refill on a glass of water. She won't take a swig out of that until she bumps me on the leg. If I'm talking to somebody else, no sense. She said, I said, what's wrong? She said, they just refilled my glass. I said, oh, okay. So then I pray and ask the Lord to bless the glass of water. Then she drinks it. Now, she don't want to be cursed. Now then, for every creature of God is good. Now, I don't know how to interpret that any other way than every creature of God is good. I mean, do you see that? For every creature of God is good, and only shrimp and lobster are to be refused. But he didn't say that either, did he? But, you know, so why do we do that? We're under bondage. I mean, if we can't go in and if we can only, in other words, the wonderful guy, and I didn't meet him, but that guy that was on the Sid Ross show, I guarantee that if you follow along with his rules, you better keep every item of the law. If you don't, you're going to come under a curse from God. Now then, let me ask you, who do you think that you know that even knows the 631 laws? I don't know them. I've heard there's 631, but I don't know what they are, Miss Jackie. I couldn't begin to quote them for you. So how would I keep something I don't even know? So if I don't keep them, then I'm going to be under a curse from God, right? And so that means if I don't eat shrimp and I don't eat lobster and I don't eat pork, that means I still might die at 50 years of age because I'm under the curse. But what if I'm not under the curse? And I know I'm not under the curse. And I know that God created every creature and every creature's good. And they said to pork or whatever. I don't care what it is. You know, I mean, if I haven't proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that what I teach is the truth, you know, to be 76 years old and eat anything I want to, anytime I want, I don't care if it's pork or shrimp or lobster or chicken fried steak. I don't care if it's fried. You know, I don't care what it is. People say, don't eat that fried food. It'll stop up every artery in your heart and you'll die at 50. Well, I got news for you. I eat anything I want. I pray over everything I want. And I'm way past 50 and I ain't never had a problem with my heart. Amen. Never been to a doctor. So which one of us is right? You think maybe the word is right? And if I'm obeying the word, then I don't have to worry about, I can eat chicken fried steak if I want to, can I, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, don't have to worry about that. But I need to make sure that I pray over it first, right?
Absolutely.
And here's a good prayer. I love this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, put everything in this food I need and take everything out of it I don't need.
Amen.
And you know, Cheryl, she'll always say, honey, tell them to take the calories out. I said, okay, so Lord, take the calories out. That way she could eat more and don't have to worry about losing any weight or gaining any weight, I should say. But just think about it. Do what, honey?
You've seen all these people that eat healthy and organic. They die early.
Well, I know. Yeah, but we're going to get to that just here in just a minute. Yeah, we're going to get to that. I think it's in here somewhere. In fact, I'm not sure where that's at, but it's in here somewhere. But when we look at this, we says, I mean, now this right here, this teaching that I'm doing right here, I did this on GLC. And this teaching got me thrown off of the air because I made a statement. Every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, I made that very statement, read it right out of the scripture. For every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it's eaten with thanksgiving, with prayer. And they called me and told me, Thurman, we're taking you off of GLC. You're saying it's okay to eat anything, and we believe that you have to go by the law, and that you have to eat only things that the law says is legal, and you're teaching a lie, and we can't have you on television no more, so we're taking you off. I'm teaching a lie. But I read it exactly like it's written in God's Word. For how many creatures is good? That's right. For every creature of God is good. And but, you know, this couldn't hardly be. This is, I wanted something in the New Testament. Because that's what they all say. If you tell them something like that from the Old Testament, they just say, well, you know, they got a problem with it. Because so much of the Old Testament does put a bind, put you in bondage, you know, to the law. And you can't eat but certain things. But right here, it's so clear under the New Testament, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. I don't know how to make that any clearer than God made it. Do you? So as a son or daughter of God, here's the thing you need to remember. We're supposed to walk in love. So if we're supposed to walk in love and somebody comes into your house and you're fixing to eat pork, you're making pork sandwiches, and they come in and say, oh my gosh, Thurman, I thought you was a Christian. Well, I am. Well, don't you know you can't eat that pork? You don't believe it's okay to eat pork? No, absolutely not. I mean, if Jesus cast demons into them pigs, you shouldn't eat that pork. Now, that's what the man said, right? Okay, so if he and I are sitting dinner together, I should say, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and eat my pork and you go ahead and eat whatever you want. Is that what God told me to do? No, it's not what he told me to do at all. He said, take the pork and put it aside and not offend your brother and eat whatever he eats. And then after he leaves, you can go get your pork and have your sandwich. Because you're not in bondage, right, Miss Jackie? I'm not in bondage. So if I'm in bondage, I'm only in bondage while somebody else is there that's trying to put me in bondage. But the Lord says, out of love, don't do that to them. If it offends your neighbor for what you're eating, then don't eat it in his presence. That's what the scripture says. Don't eat it in his presence. So you don't get smart with them or nothing like that. Say, oh, you don't think it's okay to eat bacon? Oh, no, no, man, that's come out of a pig. There ain't no way I'd ever eat that pork. That's okay. So you don't think I'm okay eating that? No, 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 absolutely not. You should not eat that. Okay, let's put it aside. Now, I ain't going to throw it away. I'll put it in the refrigerator. Because he ain't going to be in my house forever. When he leaves, I can go get, man, I love that bacon sandwich. You know, I tell you what, according to God's word, what are we free to eat as Christians? Everything and anything, as long as you pray over it with thanksgiving, right? So technically speaking, as Christians, we're not to be under bondage. We're to be free, and we're realizing that we are free. Now then, like Cheryl said a while ago, I'm not sure which one of those scriptures. It's which one?
It's verse 8.
Verse 8, okay. Okay, so we're going to get to it here shortly. Okay, let's go to verse 5 then, right quick. And verse 5 says, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. In other words, if God's word says it's okay, and then we pray over it, then the word of God in our prayer sanctified that food, and it's okay, right? That's what he said. Okay, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. In other words, am I trying to teach you the truth? I'm trying, or I'm not. So he said, I'm doing good. Of Jesus Christ, nourished up into the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profits little. If bodily exercise profits little, then why do we go and work out so much?
We don't.
In other words, you say, have you got a mouse in your pocket? We don't go work out like that because we know the freedom we have, right, Jack? Now then, there's a lot of people that don't know this though, right? And they're under bondage. He says, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits unto all things. So guess what we do? We go to the gym and work out. And then we go home and we sit down and eat our popcorn and drink our soda pop and watch the Cowboys football game or whatever. And so we still die early as Christians because we didn't realize we had freedom to do that. You know, we go and we work out and we don't spend any time with God. Now then, if we want to really be healthy and live a long time, I think it was Dean back there a while ago, his Proverbs 4, where he was talking about, you know, that attend to my words. And if you attend to those words of God, just like he said, that will bring a healthy life to you and a long life to you. That's what we want, right? So, in other words, by attending to the word of God, obeying the word of God, and reading it and believing it and doing what it says, if it says that everything is clean, as long as we sanctify it with the word of God and prayer, those of us that are Christians, should we ever sit down to eat anything without praying over it? No, we should not. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if the people there say, don't you pray in the name of Jesus. In fact, I will tell you here a while back, we were up at the restaurant, at a restaurant. This lady knew I was a Christian. And she said, oh, by the way, Thurman, one of my employees here lost his billfold. He left it on the front bumper of his car. He was working on his car, and it was dragging on the ground. So he took his billfold out with driver's license, a little bit of money in it and everything, and laid it on, either on the running board or the front bumper or something of the pickup. And when he got to the car, of course, guess what he did? He forgot that he left his billfold up there, and he got in the truck and drove off. And then a little later, when he gets home, he finds out that I don't have my billfold. Oh, my goodness, I left it laying on the car. And so he backtracks and can't find it. A couple days later, we're in the restaurant. She said, Thurman, would you pray and ask the Lord to find this boy's billfold? I said, sure, no problem, I'll do that. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. She said, hold it. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, Thurman, you're in a place of business. I don't want you to offend my customers. So say the prayer silently. I said, ma'am, I don't know how to pray silently. I don't know how to do that. So I said, you know, if you want the prayer prayed silently or lowly, you pray it. I'll just be in agreement with you. So she come over to my table real close and prayed, Father, in the name of Jesus. You had to really get close, don't you, to hear her. But she did. She got close. And I said, okay, Lord, I agree with her in the name of Jesus. We were in that restaurant a few days later, and that boy come running over, and he says, Thurman, Pastor, I want you to know I really wasn't a believer. I didn't even believe these things worked. But he says, when you and my boss agreed in prayer, I'd find my billfold. He said, that next day, a man came up to me with my billfold, and everything was still in it and intact. And what, honey? Yeah. Now, who do you think brought that billfold back to that boy? The Lord. Now, if he'll do those kind of things when we pray just silently or kind of real low, what do you think he might do if we really get excited about him, Miss Jackie? Yeah, ain't that something? Should we ever be downtrodden when it comes to praying for people? Should we always be uplifted and be ready to pray always? Yeah, I think we should, because he says there, for bodily exercise profits little. And, you know, I have seen, it's amazing. I'll see some guy that weighs 300 pounds, and he may be 70 years old, and he may not be getting around very good, but he's still pretty healthy. And then I look at another boy that's 40 years old, and he's perfect for his physical condition, but he's not in the Word. And he's dying with cancer at 40 years old. Whereas this man's 60, 70, 80 years old, and he's way overweight. He hadn't took care of his body at all. He's eat the wrong stuff. But he's a good Christian man, loves God with all his heart. And he outlives a guy that took care of everything physically. That's why the scripture says, Physical exercise profits little, but spiritual exercise profits a lot. The Word of God is what makes you live long or cut your life short. It's not your physical exercise. It's your spiritual exercise. You should take care of yourself spiritually, right, Richard?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Wow. Having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. By the Word of God, we know that we're saved. If I didn't have the Bible, I would have no idea what was going to happen to me in my last days. But by having the Bible, I know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to happen just like God said. Verse 9, let's see what it says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Verse 10. Or therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Just think, God came to die on the cross for how many of us?
All
of us. And only those that really believe and learn these principles are ever going to live in the fullness of what he done. And I really don't believe that there's ever been a man that's lived on this earth that's lived in the fullness of what Jesus done for us. Do you, Jack?
No.
Not even close. Just think of what he did. And as you have now learned the promises of God, think what you could do now you couldn't do 5 years ago. Think of the answers to prayer you've received in the last 5 years that you never dreamed was available.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But now you know. I mean, now all of a sudden Psalms 91 has become a reality to you.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about where you go or what you eat or nothing.
And food's in practice.
Yeah. And I will have to say, I've told you all this before, some of you, but when I was an engineer building buildings, we had to build in Mexico. And we went down there I had four or five other engineers with me. And we all went down there to check out this building site and everything and was getting ready to build some buildings. We was at the hotel that night and we ordered some kind of a meal that they sent it out in bowls. You know, everybody dipped out of this bowl and everybody dipped out of this bowl. You know, you've seen those kind of deals, right? Yeah, so whatever they call that. So anyway, when we got ready to eat, when they brought all the meals, the food out there, I knew them all very well. I told them, I said, guys, before we eat, I want to pray over this. And they said, Thurman, you and your religious junk. I said, no, guys. I said, we're in Mexico. I said, you know, you could get dysentery, you know, real easy. You definitely need to pray. I said, some places in America, I might not pray all the time, but I try to pray over everything. But down here, I'm sure going to pray. And they said, no, that's okay. And they just started getting food out. So they're dipping their stuff out and getting their food. And I said, Father, I wanted to say this bunch of pigs, but I didn't say it. I wanted to be nice. I said, Lord, I know these guys are going ahead and eating and everything. They're not waiting on you, but they don't believe like I do. But Father, I believe that you make everything good if I sanctify it with the Word of God in prayer with thanksgiving. So Father, I want to thank you for this food. I should bless it to my body in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that it's going to do good things for my body. Thank you, Lord. It's done. And one of the guys said, you really think that's going to make a difference in that food? I said, yes, absolutely. And he said, they just laughed at me. Well, the next morning when we got downstairs and nobody showed up but me, I stood down there for a half hour and waited and they didn't show up. Finally, I called the room and I said, hey guys, we got a job to do. Oh, Thurman, I'm sitting on the pot. I got dysentery so bad there ain't no way I can't eat. And I called the other one and he was the same when I called the other. All four of them were sick with dysentery. I was the only one that had no problem. Now, does the Word of God work?
Yes.
Of course it does. Now, what if I'd have fell right into their trap with them? Man, I'd have been right there. I'd have been just as sick as they were. But when you see something like that happen, you know God's in control of everything. And his Word works just like he says. He said, if you and me sanctify the everything that's set before us is okay as Christians. as long as you pray over it with thanksgiving. Is that what he said? So when you do that, then you can be assured that that food that you eat is going to be good for your body and not going to be bad. Because I'm telling you what, that got those guys' attention. You know, I really don't think they ever did believe that, though. They just thought it was just a coincidence. I mean, the Word of God is foolishness to the unbeliever. And it don't make no sense at all. But we're not unbelievers here, are we? No, we're believers. And so to those of us that believe, we're not. This is, there's also one other scripture that I want to quit on. It's Galatians 5, 18. Galatians 5, 18. I think that's the one I want to quit on. Look at Galatians 5, 18. But if you be led of the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. Now, how many of you in here as born-again Christians believe with all your heart that you are led by the Spirit of God? Okay, that looks like everybody. I hope that's everybody. Because if you're led by the Spirit of God, are you under law? No, you're not under law. Are you under bondage? Can you eat anything you want to? According to God's Word, you don't have to worry, do you? Can you eat shrimp? Can you eat pork? Can you eat steak? Yeah. Can you eat anything you want to? And go to church on Sunday. You can go to church on Saturday too if you want to, though, can't you, Jack? Go to church on Monday and Tuesday if you want to. We're not living under bondage, are we? We're free. And that's, the church is not free today. The church is living under bondage. And after I talked to Mike last night, I was awestruck. I had no idea that there was a group of people that believed like that on this earth that called themselves Christians. That would literally, but I will have to say, I have seen other churches that will say, you know, in fact, this even happened among the Baptists. If you were not a certain kind of Baptist, you couldn't go to heaven. Have you, any of y'all ever heard that? Yeah, you haven't heard that, but let me tell you, if you were not a certain kind of Baptist, you couldn't go to heaven. But there's other churches out there. In fact, I got so tickled one day, I was talking to a man. He said, I'm going to tell you a joke. He said, this man died and went to heaven, and he was a Baptist. And he said, he got to heaven, he's walking around heaven, and he goes over to a certain big room, and the Lord opens the door and lets him look in and said, man, these people are all in there having a good time. They're just jumping up and down and praising God and having a good time. And he closed the door and he said, Lord, who are those people? He said, those are Church of Christ, and they think they're the only one up here. Is that sad? But do you know that's right? I've heard people that are in the Church of Christ say, if you're not a Church of Christ, you ain't going to heaven. But I've heard them say, if you're not a Baptist, you're not going to heaven. Haven't you? How many of them's wrong? All of them's wrong. To them that believe in Jesus, really believe in Jesus, that's willing to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, are they going to heaven? Yes, they are. As long as they believe that, there's no problem. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you that you've given us freedom. We're not under bondage. We're free to eat anything we want to because it's written in your word. And I thank you that you did write it in your word. And I thank you, Lord, that we can pray over anything and all foods are clean because you said it. I believe it. I don't need anything else but you and the Word of God. I can pray over food. I can pray over drink. I can eat or drink anything I want to eat or drink in the name of Jesus because I live in total freedom and not under bondage. Now, Father, as we go forth this week, I ask you to use us mightily this week to bring other people into the kingdom of God and see them gloriously saved. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for using us for your glory as your children. Thank you for this wonderful week that we've had. I thank you that we'll be blessed next week with a greater blessing. Lord, thank you. I just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.